Show. This is a CJ Morgan Show. CJ Morgan Show. This is a CJ Morgan Show.
Wanted to say a very special happy birthday to someone who's very influential in my life.
Okay.
That would be Elton John.
Happy birthday, Elton.
Is it really his birthday?
Yeah, it's really his birthday, I think, according to this radio internet show prep page we have, which I'll get to in a second. But first, I just want to explain why Elton John was so important to me.
Okay.
One, because as a young kid, learning Elton John was gay, I was like, oh, I like that guy, and he's gay, so that must mean gays are okay. It was just one of those moments where, you know, growing up in Amarillo, Texas, as a young man, where you would hear, or young boy, you would hear just slurs and bad things about people, and then you realize, oh, they're not so bad. They're normal. They're, you know what I mean? I don't know if y'all ever had that breakthrough moment to where, like, maybe you just learned that, you know, people are people, so...
No, actually, I learned that from Depeche Mode.
The wrong artist, okay.
Yeah. People are people.
But also, my dad was into very much into like 60s, 70s rock. I feel like Neil Young was probably the softest kind of music he was into.
Okay.
But then there was always Elton John on the record player on Saturday mornings.
What would he go? A little Crocodile Rock?
Everything,
by Yellow Brick Road?
Definitely that. Like, there was... And it just takes me back to being a kid, and I love the music. But the reason I kind of want to start with this today is because we have these radio sites that make stuff for us.
Right.
We really don't use it a lot, but they did like all of his number one hits, and they're like, this is for us to quiz listeners, all right? They want to know how many number one hits from Elton John in this medley can you name?
Okay.
Are you ready to hear the medley?
Sure.
And see, we're going to play a little bit and see how many you can name.
You ready to name while it's playing?
All right. No, we're going to pause. We're going to stop. But how many number one hits by Elton John can you name? This quiz of how many number one hits by Elton John you can
name.
Giving
you the title of the song.
And the song.
And they're not even playing other sections.
Dude, no. I feel bad because I know radio doesn't have a lot of money, so a company whose entire business model is to make content for radio does. So some intern put this together, but
right.
Matt, we've both done these radio quizzes, and usually what the tease is, what you do to get people excited, is you play right up to the chorus where they say the name or the title of the song,
right,
or the most known part. You do the 5 seconds before that.
Yeah.
You don't do Rockin' Man.
So far, if you just write down all the words you've heard, you've got 100% on this quiz.
You've done pretty well. Let's keep going. I'm sure they make it a little harder.
Okay, let's see.
It. They had to start it off easy.
Maybe.
Right?
Okay.
Seems to be the hardest word, and you can tell everybody
that this is your
this
song.
Is a song. Like a candle in the wind, blow down this
bridge.
Faith in their listeners.
I know. I mean, hey, happy,
that's at least one of them. Come on,
happy birthday, Elton John. But maybe you have to remember the whole thing. You write it down.
I don't know,
but it's not only is it entertaining, but now I just want to listen to Elton John. He had some bops.
He did.
Like, he had huge, filled out huge stadiums. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Still, made a bazillion dollars. How many? What percentage of the lyrics did he write over the years? Do you know that?
Bernie Taupin wrote them all. Like, that was his writing part. He was a performer. Bernie Taupin
was
his
writing. That
was
an insane thing to learn later on.
He
would write the piano parts, but Bernie Taupin, his writing partner, was essentially the songwriter, and he was the performer.
Yeah, it's still... Huh. A lot of that stuff blew my mind when I was a kid when I learned it later. I can't think of an exact example, but maybe I was around this age when, you know, Kenny Wayne Shepherd had that song Blue on Black, and it was
right.
A huge hit on the radio, but then I learned... Kenny Wayne Shepherd isn't the guy singing.
He's the guitar player.
He's the guitar player.
Yeah.
And just like little things like that. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh,
that doesn't
man.
Make sense. You mean I don't get it at all. You're telling me that Aqualung is not actually sung by
Jethro Tull.
Jethro Tull is not his name.
That's the name of the band.
I don't get it.
Yeah, there's nobody named Leonard and Leonard Skinner.
What? But Leonard. Yeah, you learn the hard way, don't you? Anyhow.
Did you know Elton John, 77 years old today?
Happy birthday today, EJ. We love you.
You guys are super tight.
Anyhow, if you can name all those songs,
good luck.
Call in. How much do you know about books? Today is the greatest because there's nothing that great that happens today.
What?
I couldn't find anything on our secret calendar websites, but I did find two things that popped up on what happened today in history. One was like, how well do you know European history? I want to take that quiz, but I figured it would be better for all of us being learned red men to take a quiz called Classic Children's Books Quiz.
Okay, I'm into
this. For some reason, this is what happened today on this history, so let's take a quiz. All right, you ready? Let's do it.
About books.
How well do we know our books? An editor told Shel Silverstein that this book was too simple for adults and too sad for kids. The Lorax, The Giving Tree, Where the Red Fern Grows, James and the Giant Peach.
That would be the Giving Tree.
Giving Tree, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a sad one. And sadly, it is correct. I think adding Shel Silverstein kind of gave it away.
Yeah, that really helped. That's the only book I know that he wrote.
This 1987 nine animal statues, a mama and eight babies, were erected in Boston to commemorate what book? Make Way for Ducklings, Charlotte's Web, The Wind in the Willows, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish.
No idea.
A mama and eight babies.
Yeah, go with something, that chicken and whatever.
Charlotte's Web, go with
it's
the ducklings.
The duckworm.
Ducklings are correct. Man, we know our kids' books.
Or at least we can guess in this cheap quiz.
Yeah.
Which author originally wanted his 1963 picture book to be about wild horses until he learned he couldn't draw horses?
Oh, no.
Dude, horses are kind of hard to draw.
Sorry, bro.
Shel Silverstein again, Eric Carle, Maurice Sendak, or Roald Dahl?
I would go with Maurice Sendak because he did Where the Wild Things Are.
Those are kind of freaky deaky.
Yeah.
And you're correct.
Wow.
Hey, by the way, is this one of those things where the quiz is like 400 questions long?
And it's just stealing our info? I've done that. I get so mad when you're invested in a quiz and then you realize how long it is.
It's like, what's your middle name and your social security?
The only way we'll give you the answers.
According Damn to, it. If you give a mouse a cookie, what Hell will yeah. the mouse ask for once he has a cookie? Cupcake, napkin, milk, or another cookie?
I guess
another cookie.
I'm going to say nookie.
I bet it's milk.
I think it's another cookie.
It's been so long.
I accidentally clicked on milk, but yeah. Our time ran out. Milk is needed to wash down the cookie, but then the mouse needs a straw to drink the milk, followed by a napkin, followed by a mirror to... I guess we got that right?
These are complicated.
You just didn't hit it in time.
Wait, I didn't hit it, so milk was correct. Eric Carle's The Very Hungry Caterpillar is known for what? It has no words. The cover unfolds into a butterfly. The book has holes cut through its pages. I'm going to go with holes. And I'm right. Sorry, we were running out of time. I didn't realize this was a timed quiz.
Why would they time you on that?
Because they want to stress me out.
We're almost out of time. Go.
Today's the greatest, and we're doing some classic children's book quizzes here on the CJ Morgan Show. Which book was a result of a bet that Dr. Seuss couldn't... all right, we're out of time.
Well, there you go.
10 seconds. Dr. Seuss couldn't write a story with only 50 unique words. Green Eggs and Ham, Lorax, Horton Hears a Who, The Places You'll Go.
Do that.
Places. No, Green Eggs and Ham has a lot. I don't know which one it is. Green Eggs and Ham, but we ran out of time.
Why didn't you trust me?
Because
I guess what today is the greatest
because
he doesn't.
Because they keep repeating. Unique words. It means you can repeat the words, but you can only use 50, but you can repeat them a lot. And it has
correct.
Sure.
Repetition. I thought it meant you... Okay, well,
we're out of time on the next one, too.
15 seconds. Which of the following books is about a stuffed bear who goes on adventure in a department store?
Corduroy, baby.
Yeah, we got it. Only a few seconds to spare.
We did it.
We're almost done. In which book do we see a comb and brush and a bowl full of mush?
Huh?
Chicka Boom Boom. I'm going to guess that. No, it was Goodnight Moon. All right, we got to hurry. The name Streganona comes from Italian for what phase? Beautiful. I'm going to go Sleeping Daughter. Incorrect. It is Grandma Witch. Sorry, we're really, well, we're almost done with the quiz. and we're running out of time here on the show. Which of these is widely considered the first picture book to star a black child? Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, The Snowy Day, Harold and the Purple Crayon, Alexander and the Terrible Horrible Bad Day, is it? No, The Snowy Day.
Purple Crayon. Oh.
The best part of this is that when he's done with this quiz, with all 700 questions, it will be whatever tomorrow's day for being great is.
Well, this is our last one, and we only have 20 seconds to answer it. In the musical adaptation of which Roald Dahl book does the title character sing, "Sometimes you have to be a little bit naughty"? The BFG, which is the big effing deal, Matilda, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, James and the Giant Peach.
I'd go with Matilda.
Matilda, yeah.
That yeah, Matilda
good.
Sounds wild, and that yeah. is... All right. Hell we got yeah. it correct. We got how many? 6 out of 11 points. I thought we did better than that.
Turns out we're bad kids.
Play again. Play again.
No,
here we
no,
go.
No! You can learn from Gen Z.
It's time for Parent Pickup.
Here's your dad, Matt Bearden. It's the Parent Pickup on the CJ Morgan Show. Lessons for the parents, the kids, for everyone.
Yeah, for everyone is very important. And Gen Z gets this. Boy, do they get it. It's kind of cultural with them and Gen Alpha as well.
Whoa.
And I think a lot of us could learn from it. And that is D&D.
Okay, yeah.
But not the D&D you're thinking of.
No, I'm Dungeons and Dragons, right? No,
not Dungeons
okay.
and Dragons.
Well, at first I thought something perverted.
Yeah.
And then you said, not the one you're thinking of. Well, dang.
Damn it.
No, it's not Dungeons and Dragons. It's Do Not Disturb, the settings we can all find on our cell phones.
Oh, yes.
Do
oh.
you guys ever use D&D?
I'm no. using it right now, actually.
Not yeah. at all. I'm just pretty good at ignoring my phone. But here's the problem with that is people will text me and then I'll text back and then it Do Not Disturb comes up and I'm like, wait, you just turned this on like just now? As I don't know, it's I don't like that it shows you when someone else has Do Not Disturb
oh,
on.
Oh, I like it. That's it's precisely why I like it, because if somebody's texting you and it says this person has their notification silenced, then they know I may not be responding right away.
Mm, yeah. I don't know.
Now,
man.
When
it's
you
like
have Do Not Disturb, but it's not turning your phone off. I can still text you right now, even though Do Not Disturb
yeah,
is turned on my phone.
Yeah, it just doesn't buzz or ring or blink or right. anything. But it also, you know what works for that is I'm just asleep. And then I get real bad anxiety when I wake up if I sleep in late. So then I'm like, I don't want to look at my phone because I know I'm going to have messages.
I brought this in here, and if you want to tell me all the reasons I'm wrong, you can.
Okay,
but I would
good.
Also suggest to you
so.
That you give it a try. And here's why.
It feels so good, dude. You should try it.
Yeah, it's too often that we get so attached to our phone, and then we feel like, oh, I can't get anything done because all these other things are pressing. It's really nice just to decide, oh, my phone is really just an access yeah. to the internet. It's not a communication device unless I want it to be. I also only very recently learned that you can set parameters for Do Not Disturb. So, like, I currently have Do Not Disturb set
on
for...
On me, for me.
No, if I'm here at the office,
yeah.
it automatically pops on, and it
Same.
Knows that I'm here, so it turns off. Because if I'm at the office, 99% of the time, I'm on air or preparing to be on air or just getting off air and taking notes, and I don't
right,
have time to talk to
distraction
you.
Distraction isn't quite helpful. I mean, I do it too just because it's a work thing, but when I go home and it's a certain time, it activates. I'm like, awesome. Now I can pretend like
yeah.
I'm about to go to bed.
Now, I don't want to give I don't want to give the next generations credit for being like super involved in their work and not wanting to be distracted. What it really comes down to, my daughter tells me, she's like, oh, I don't want anybody calling me because calling is creepy. And I'll text you if I need to.
Yes, sir,
she's
sir.
Like, I have certain friends that are set to come through. But everybody else, it seems like a lot of pressure when someone texts you. So
Thank
I like
God.
To be able to think about it. And
Thank
I'm like,
God.
Oh. And like, why?
How long has it taken us to figure this out since we got cell phones?
It's also
it's
weird.
It's taken us too long.
Well, basically, an entire generation has learned what
disturbed.
Those of us that are depressives learned a long time ago.
Ah, yes. I'm scared to talk on the phone. I don't want to do it.
But can't you just ignore it?
Yeah,
like
that's exactly
buzz.
What this is. But,
I know,
now,
but
now you're taking, like, you don't have to listen for that
step,
vibration
okay.
of your phone being quieted or
yeah, it's so
it's
much
doing
nicer
the
than the vibration.
You.
What
it,
if there's
well,
a silver alert and Meemaw in Hemp Hill, Texas
me,
is
Grandma.
Missing?
I will say the only Billy Big problem. Oh, did I say the only
Billy
Lily Big?
Big?
That's the Billy only
Big.
Really big
I'm
problem.
I'm Billy Big, and you're going to have a problem if you're snoozing my alerts.
Well, yeah, that's kind of sometimes how I know where my phone is that it's buzzing in some other room, and I'm like, oh, that's where I left it. What if I do not deserve
it, you can't call
it's
it.
It's much harder to find
funny.
It otherwise. Anyway, I was reading an interesting article about how it's almost endemic
for that generation to all have their phone on do not disturb.
I think I'm going to do that just to be funny. Just
it's kind of nice, dude. It's super chill. I've been doing it as a, I guess the last week and a half as an experiment.
Wow.
I like it a lot better.
Is the problem, though, with Spencer and Androids is if you text them and they're on do not disturb, you'll get like a weird 8 mile long green paragraph stating that Spencer's on do not disturb.
Y'all don't even text me anyway, so what's the matter?
That is true.
You know what's sad is Matt's always on his phone, always. Like when we're in here, when we're not on air, he's just watching TikToks and we're talking. He's like, oh, what? But what makes me sad is I'll text Matt and I know he's on his phone.
Because he's right next to you?
and I won't hear back from him. And I'm like, I know he saw that I texted and he just swooped up. He just ignored it. And continue to look at really bad TikToks.
Well, I'm sure he wants to decide how often during the day he sees texts about dingers and dangers and dongers.
Sometimes it's funny and he needs to see it. All right, Matt, you ready to settle the results of this week's sports bet?
Not really, because I think I did terribly and I'm mad about the way some of the things came out.
Well, let's discuss. Let's start with Texas basketball, which we just talked about. You took Tennessee. I took Texas and the points, which was 6.5 point for CJ for Texas.
What's so upsetting is, do you remember that I said, well, the one thing about it, if I take Tennessee, is that way, if Texas wins, I'll lose the bet, but at least I'll have the Texas victory.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't consider was the points, and then now I have nothing. I lost both ways, and it sucks.
And, I mean, most of the game, Texas was down like 10 until the second half. They started
so
making
upsetting,
a run.
Dude.
Oh, well. Hey, you did win this one. I'm not sure if it was our tiebreaker or not, but Jack Golick, who plays for Oakland, they took, I think, NC State to overtime. I said, I guessed he would have, I said, 4 threes.
Right.
The over-under. You picked the over. I picked even. He had 6 three-pointers.
Awesome.
So point for Matt there. And next, let's go to soccer. Orlando FC versus Austin FC. You said it would be a draw,
yeah,
which
because
makes sense.
Well, the draw, they have been drawing every time I want to bet against them. Boy, did they teach me a lesson this week.
Orlando FC is also probably the worst team in the MLS.
No.
Until now.
They probably are not.
They beat Austin FC 2-0.
Handily. I know 2-0 seems, but they really just seem to have it in control the entire game.
22 shots to 2.
We had really two. Like, uncomfortable.
My God.
And Coach Wolf made a big statement about how, well, you know, we've got all these new guys that we have 10 guys that are out and this and that. And like, well, sure, but is it that hard to learn your strategy of kick it to the center back, then the center back kicks it to the goalie, then the goalie kicks it to the center back, and then he kicks it back to the goalie, and at some point, y'all clear it and lose the ball. Like, it's just, the team's bad, and their strategy doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and even if you're new, can you kick the ball toward the goal at some point?
Yeah, kick it that way. Quit going backwards.
Let's try that out for a chat. You know, I still will go to the games. I'll still root because it's fun to have some kind of pro team in town. But,
it's uncomfortable to watch, and it's been that way forever. The only thing is during the good season is we would have crazy things happen and be down 2-0 and end up winning 3-2. You know, there would be magical, crazy things that would happen, but it was more flukish than it was like,
well,
this team's
broke
good.
Our way. They have not been breaking our way now for 2 seasons.
Not to mention for 2 seasons, when there are those draws, we're usually up.
Right.
And then in the 90th minute, that's when the draw happens. Unfortunate for them. But hey, good news for the USA. Defeated Mexico 2-0 in the Gold Cup. I don't know, one of the tournaments, unnecessary tournaments. I think we're gearing up for the Olympics right now. USA men's team defeating Mexico 2-0. Matt, you had Mexico. I had the USA, US of A.
I know.
I trusted. USA also kind of a bad problem where they have a coach in Berhalter that probably shouldn't be the coach because he kind of sucks. But oh well, they have a big win. And I'm sorry, Matt, but that means you're the loser this week.
You are. Drop some chips.
You are the big loser. We're going to come back and drop some chips. But don't worry, to excite both of us, we're now down to the Sweet 16 in the tournament, which means tomorrow at this time, we're gonna play darts to pick our Sweet 16 teams.
You
and I, we're gonna pick a bracket. We're going to throw darts to pick a team, and the further that team advances, the more points we'll get, and this will kind of just be another exciting big bet.
I'm ready.
I'm more happy to screw up our studio with darts. It's going to be fun. I know what you're thinking. You can get plastic or magnetic darts.
No, that's not fun.
This whole studio is made of dartboard material. I guess it's soundproofing, but for me, it's dartboard material. That's what we're going to do. I want to drop it. I want to not complain or bitch anymore, but I have my list of stuff to crap on. During the week or so, we were kind of out around during South by Southwest. Right. Also had my birthday. I talked about the P-line. I talked about how Europeans are bad tippers. I talked about my parking ticket. But I've got three things I want to finish, and they all have to do with the service industry.
Are we getting all of them today, or are you going to spread them out through the week?
I'm going to knock them out today can get rid of the vitriol and hate. Let's start with something pretty simple I experienced not once, but twice.
Now, does this always...
Twice.
Is this a usual thing for South By, or is this can this happen outside of South By as well?
It can happen outside of. It's just I happen to notice and document these during. This one definitely outside of South By because... Listen, we love our working class people. There's a lot of construction in Austin, so there's a lot of construction workers, construction-type vehicles. But my problem that I experienced twice is, if you have a trailer, don't go through the fast food line. If you have a work trailer that's filled with crap, you don't get to go through the fast food line. This dude had a massive one. He could have been towing a trailer within a trailer this with on a truck in the trailer. Okay. Go inside.
This is so specific.
Same if you have like an RV or something. You don't go through the fast food line. You park at the back of the lot away from people.
Can I ask you why you don't like the trailer in the fast food line?
Because it adds three more cars of non-service and then they're just sitting there.
As soon as he moves, all those three cars go with him so the line gets quicker. And now what if there wasn't room for him to find a spot to park as well in the area?
Then go somewhere else.
Go hungry.
Go to Walmart. The other problem is if you have a truck with a trailer, that truck also has eight dudes in it who've been working all day and they're hungry, which means they're going to order a lot of stuff. And if you're a Whataburger, they make it all fresh. So you're going to wait forever.
So your complaint really is please nobody else go to the drive-thru when you're hungry.
Not if you do it in a respectful manner.
Especially not the Whataburger drive-thru.
Because here's the other issue, and it goes with coworkers too. If you have a vehicle filled with coworkers and everyone's ordering and trying to pay and Venmo and figure out their own thing, just go inside and do that.
Have you ever thought about getting a Whataburger 2 minutes earlier?
Or using the app? Sure.
No,
always have.
If you were to get there 2 minutes earlier, then you would be ahead of those people.
That's like a guaranteed way to not be bothered by that.
That brings me to my next complaint. I would have got there 2 minutes earlier if not for Uber and Lyft drivers dropping people off in the middle of the street. Listen, when you're in downtown Austin or in a compact neighborhood, you need to pull in. You need to get to the... You cannot drop people off in the middle of the street. That's not what you don't put on your hazards and be like, well, here's good enough, because then it backs up all the traffic. And it's not like what happens, especially during South By with these annoying tech bros in town, is they slowly get out of their Uber Black. They all kind of high five. They look. It takes forever for them to get out.
You're just sad that you didn't get to hang out with any cool tech bros.
I'm sad I didn't get to Whataburger in time. They all take forever to get out of the Uber. And then the Uber guy's got to be like, all right, let me punch my phone and let me see where my next ride is. I was watching through the back window of the Uber guys punching crap on their phone before they turned their hazards off and got moving.
Where were you in a hurry to get to?
Yeah. Whataburger. Anywhere. It doesn't matter. Don't stop traffic in the street.
Question. If you're in a hurry, why would you go to Whataburger?
I know.
Because I also want quality.
Okay,
now why couldn't you wait to go to Whataburger after South by Southwest?
Because I had to eat then. My tummy craved it, all right? And I got to listen to my tummy. And speaking of listening to my tummy, this is the last thing. I got to bitch about fancy restaurants. I went to a great fancy restaurant recently. It's in a really cool spot.
Yeah, Whataburger, right?
Pretty much. It's called Ludi's, and I was so excited to go there because it's on this property that's on like Red River. It's like the Rick Perry Museum or something.
No, it's the Commodore Perry Estate, but I love that you called it the Rick Perry Museum. That's great.
Yeah, but it's like a hotel. It's a beautiful
it's
spot.
It's been a multitude of things. It's been a private school. It was a nunnery a long time ago. It's been behind the walls. A lot of people in Austin always wondered what was going on behind there. Now it's public, and you could go stay.
Yeah,
as long as you go for $2,000 a night, you could stay at the hotel.
And we went to Ludi's, and it was really nice, but here's the great thing I did. I didn't bitch at all because I know my girlfriend really planned all this. And I was like, I always bitch about everything. And right. It's become such a joke. So I didn't.
Good.
But man, they had the two things I love to bitch about when it comes to fancy restaurants.
Oh, no.
Number one, seating me close to other people. Your whole restaurant's open. Like, there's all this open space, and I get it. I've been a server. I know as you keep things in sections, but
you should understand.
Dude, the people next to us were closer than Matt is to me right now. I can't have a conversation if people are that close. It makes me nervous.
Really?
I hate that.
You come on here every day and talk to dozens of people.
Yeah, but it's not people next to me judging me. I want to hear their things.
That's not true. Matt and I are judging you every single
day.
It's
so close. Like, why do I have to sit so close to people? Okay. Why do you have to put your fancy tables so close? If I'm paying, well, my girlfriend's paying all this money, I want my own space.
Okay, so that's one thing. What's the other thing?
It's too dark. I can't see anything. They turn the lights down so goddamn low.
You can't color in between the lines of the coloring mat they give you.
I get that it's fancy.
You get only two colors. I hate it when it's just yellow and green.
I can't even color in red.
They don't want you seeing like all the dirt and grime that a restaurant. It's too dark. It is so dark. Why do you have to make it so dark?
So that you block out the sense of sight, which means you could hear better since you're sitting close to each other.
It tastes better? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't have to be a sushi on a conveyor belt place that has like lights that give you a tan while you're there, but it's just
oh god,
listen, Ludus is great. Like, it was incredible.
You're entering the Larry David phase of your life.
Yeah, he really is, isn't he? And I love it though.
And you know what's great? Larry David was right most of the time.
That's true.
Okay. The other great thing is this old man, him and his wife were having an anniversary, and he had a bib on. And we kind of talked with them because we're so close. Like, I can't put my elbow without hitting his wife. But his wife makes him wear a bib when they go out to eat. And my girlfriend saw that and they started talking. And, and she's like, I got to get you that.
She's right.
I always spill on myself. You know why I spill? It's too dark and too close to people. I'm too compact. I can't see. South by Southwest is beyond over, but we do have some cool coverage, video interviews, all that stuff, 101x.com. But Austin Monthly came out with their key trends and takeaways from South by Southwest, and having friends that work at Austin Monthly, I happened to see that every day they were doing something cool and fun.
Right.
Oh, nice.
So let's figure it out. Starting with number one, AI dominated the interactive conference. Surprising no one, the AI discussion drove much of the discussion in all the sessions and all the things. But I kind of got the feeling that people were eye-rolly about it.
I think there's still, you know, we talk about it on Weird or Wired a whole lot, what's happening with AI.
I still think the term AI is an entire marketing thing. I don't think it's real.
We are definitely in the eye-rolly phase of AI. I think there will be some real benefits. I think less of it has to do with where AI is, and the people making the AI said, well, it'll be a while before it gets where you guys think it's going. I think the problem we have is a lot of people are like, no, in a week, you won't have to do anything and the world will be great.
Or it's going to destroy you and kill you and force you out of your job.
Yeah, it won't do that for another 2 weeks.
People were kind of upset that the movie Late Night with the Devil used used AI.
It was like three pictures.
To make some graphics. But yeah, they came back and said it was only for three and we were just kind of testing how it worked. I have noticed, speaking of AI, and this not necessarily on the topic, but I've noticed we always have subtitles on when we're watching documentaries and stuff like that.
Of course, even not.
I will say that subtitles used to be very clear, and it was clearly from the script, or you had a stenographer. Someone was typing them out, but now it is so bad. It's worse than Talk Text Siri. Oh, absolutely. I finally pointed it out to my girlfriend. It
depends on the service, I think, usually.
That's what I'm saying.
Some have been crappy for a long time.
Well,
but
because it's automatically generated, or you would use scripts or something like that. Like, when I worked in news, I would run the teleprompter, and that's what we used for the closed captioning. But at some point, it's gotten, like, significantly worse. And I feel like they're using some kind of
some AI instead of hiring a person, probably.
I can't read anyway, so I don't notice. It's not bothering
me. Well, I'll tell you what's fun is we watched some Richard Pryor stand-up specials this weekend. And the
AI was like, oh, those are no-no words.
It did not. It did not work. It said the crowds and lines are back.
I disagree.
I'll disagree.
Yeah, I disagree.
Now, I know that the interactive conference is kind of the big thing, but this was one of those few years I got a chance to walk around and do some stuff outside of when we worked for the music festival, but it reminded me of 2010 South by Southwest, where I could pretty much go in and out of a place. I could go into one place, hang for a little bit, go to another, hang for a little bit.
Lines moved fast. I was shocked at how I thought there was just kind of nobody out.
Yeah.
I know there were a couple of hit events that were a little hard to get into, but in general, I thought it was a little thin.
It says the Film Fest took center stage. I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I will too.
I will say the Film Fest had some big stars. It had
big
some
stars.
Big premieres. And I thought that
was
pretty
activations.
Cool.
So the film, yes. Yeah.
Major corporate parties are resurging. I don't think those were huge. Like, you did see, you had the Tide, you had the Poopery, you had some things, but it wasn't on the level of the insanity of the Dorito stage
Dorito
and other things.
Stage, geez.
Where everything was, I mean, there was no Fader Ford, there was no, I would say they're there and they're doing things, but I wouldn't say they're resurging to the level of what they were. It's still the launch pad for big ideas. Okay, we'll see. They had a lot of talk about some 3D printing things and this and that, but you know, it's nothing to the level of Twitter, Foursquare, all the crap that came. Music is smaller than ever.
Okay.
Kind of agree with that.
Well, and I think maybe that might be where we have kind of diverging from this article, is that for us, we were leaning harder into music. That's where we were spending more time downtown.
That's our jobs,
and
yeah.
It definitely did seem smaller than ever.
I mean, the Black Keys were like the biggest artists. They had two kind of shows. They did a speech. And the Black Keys are a big act, but they are not Kanye, Lady Gaga, whatever you want to say, kind of huge, like at a festival. They're going to be in the Capitol font headlining a festival. They're going to be up there, but you know, they're a top tier mid level act, maybe low tier top level act. Man. I'm not trying to insult the Black Keys. I'm just saying, like, were South by's big act.
I'm going to share it with them, this exact audio, and see what happens.
In my opinion, that was a good thing because it meant you could, realistically, what I loved about South by in the past is I could go to Valhalla and see a show, run over to Stubbs and get in and see a couple songs, run over to Mohawk, go see a song.
If you're going to South by for music, the music is much more accessible, and I did enjoy that it really seemed to kind of harken back to days where you could really go see a bunch of stuff.
There was about a five-year period where if, say, I was going to see a show at Stubbs, that meant I was not leaving Stubbs because I wasn't going to be able to get into anywhere else.
Right.
And you were kind of stuck there.
Yeah. I wasn't saying it was a negative that it was light. I just felt like it was super light. But I did enjoy the fact that you could pop, pop, pop in and out of places.
Yeah. Artists dropped out in mass to protest an Army sponsorship. We saw that was a pretty big thing. And my favorite part of that was a meme that was passed around that was like, dude, I got so drunk at South By that I da-da-da. And someone's like, yeah, dude, I got so drunk at South By I enlisted in the United States Army. Woo! A prank war's gone viral on the internet.
The internet has never been so easy.
That's right. A prank war in Kentucky has gone viral on the internet. It means some fellas at work are having a bit of fun.
Okay.
And I'm jealous because this is the stuff I would always want to do if I had the money to do weird things, but I don't. So I got to confine my Photoshops and weirdness to just the internet, which people have muted me by now.
These are coworkers. Is one guy showing up to his office fully with a bunch of sticky notes all over the place, or a bunch of balloons, or what's happening?
They've turned it into what most people thought was a viral marketing campaign for Kraft mac and cheese. Here's where they stand so far. There's a billboard up in the city in Ludlow with no explanation. It's just a picture of a guy looking weird eating mac and cheese, and it says, "This man consumes over 20 gallons of liquid cheese in a year. We can't stop him." And it makes no sense. It doesn't have any website. It doesn't have anything.
Yes. Yes.
Which I love. And people can figure it out, which is the thing I like, too. I like when there's no call to action on what should be an advertisement.
Well, now this has just gone beyond pranking. This has become art at some point.
Yes.
This is art.
Absolutely. And some people did some digging and found out it's two coworkers that have been escalatingly pranking each other for a while. And then it took a couple days before one of the guys found out that it was actually him who was on a billboard. And I think the city across from where he lives. Let's hear what he had to say.
This is me here on a billboard, just eating my mac and cheese that I had for lunch one day. that my good buddy and coworker Jonathan had taken a picture of me eating. Here's a little bit of that story. So I've gone a little viral on Reddit, and I've been featured on local news, and I just found out that there's a New York Post article about me, which is kind of crazy. It started out as a small little prank battle between me and my coworker Jonathan. We have pulled pranks on each other for quite a bit now. He sent me mysterious letters in the mail. I photoshopped him on some random people's bodies and hung up the photos around the workplace. So come Monday.
But now he's on a billboard. Now it's escalated. Like, that is a great escalation from just random photoshops and printing stuff around the office.
I hope his coworker Jonathan has more energy than he does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at him.
He eats
20 gallons of liquid cheese a year. Of course, he doesn't have energy. He's so sleepy, but it's great. I love doing stuff like that. And it also made me think of, I remember a podcast called The Bone Zone. Those guys used to do some pretty outlandish pranks, and I think at one point not Brendan Walsh but he had taken over or created like some fake accounts for some famous brands and was being really bizarre with it, and it was just a great prank, and I just love this sort of stuff so much with all my heart. And I don't know if y'all know, but we once had a radio station billboard.
We did
years ago.
It was a long time ago, but CJ actually had fun with it.
Chewy and I got to say, it was both of us. We had some billboards for one of the radio stations. Like, what should we do? And I think Chewy and I were like, let's just have a cat up there.
Yes, you randomly put just kitten photos.
Just a cat. And it was a different cat for each one. And it was so funny listening to our marketing director talk with the billboard guy, because the exec for the billboard company is like, all right, and on this one we will have a tabby and blah, 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 blah. And my pitch was, we just have the cat and maybe the radio station logo, but no reason at all. And they did kind of, our graphic design team kind of made him look Nickelbacky, and I was like, whatever.
But how do you make a cat look Nickelbacky?
Well, the background of the billboard and all that. But
they tried too hard. The whole point was people used to go, I don't understand that. That was the point.
Okay.
But they said, well, we can't do that. We need to spell out to people what's going on.
Yeah.
It's just,
so the cat was wearing distressed jeans.
Here's the deal.
What do you mean?
I mostly got my way with a lot of this because not only did they put up the billboard with the cat and it just said like the radio station stuff on it, but people were like, why does KLBJ, which is our sister station, why do they have a cat billboard? It doesn't make sense. And our program director had things on the radio. You know how we have those sweepers? They had the like 93.7 KLBJ. Meow. And what was also great is two of our radio hosts at the time, Dale Dudley and Charlie Hodge, who each had their own shows, were like, I don't get this. Pisses me. Like, why are we doing this? Why did they listen to CJ? But people were calling in and being like, I don't know. Why are y'all pussies or something? Why do y'all have to? And it worked because everyone was talking about why we have these bad billboards. So I thought it was pretty much a success.
So
I loved it.
Are you about to reveal the new CJ
Morgan
show?
It was bizarre. I wish.
Billboard. Oh, come
I
on.
Wish because
come on.
I love it when people are like, well, it doesn't have a call to action.
Well,
and I'm
just
like,
been mad, like picking his nose.
Well, my
there's
thing
a new
is.
One that, there's a new billboard that just says, listen to cats.
But my whole thing with it is, if something is mysterious and annoying enough, people are going to investigate it. They're going to start searching it. They're going to start Googling it. Our program director at the time of the Spanish station was like, ¿por qué? ¿Por qué gato? And I said, sí. And he goes, no, ¿por qué? And I said, sí. So I started calling it ¿por qué advertising? Unfortunately, the suits were finally like, all right, people are keep complaining about these. We got to take them down. I'm like, they're complaining because they don't make sense.
Yes.
So instead, we put up a picture of Rod Stewart and Ozzy Osbourne, like, and said, listen to the Rock of Austin. Yeah, way better. Makes us real cool then.
I continue to be weirded out by this coming eclipse.
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
If it's weird, if it's wired, Matt's going to let us know here on the CJ Morgan Show. Why are you weirded out by the eclipse? Because it's going to get so dark and scary.
No, and I've seen videos of it. And I mean, I guess it looks kind of cool. And I hate being a broken record. But we discussed it last week. Do you remember how I'm just like, I'm not really that excited. I don't understand. I'm not saying like, oh, those people aren't cool. I'm just saying, are we sure that it's as popular as people are making out to be? This is the latest thing I saw pop up.
Oklahoma has called out the National Guard. They've called up the National Guard. They said, we need you all to be active, ready to go. Oh, excuse me, ready to go? I'm being shut down by the Matrix. Yeah.
Oh, no.
They're saying because of safety concerns and because part of the path of totality goes through or near Oklahoma, they want...
attention, too.
I guess so. They're like, this influx of visitors has the potential to overtax local resources, and thanks to the training and experience of our guardsmen, they can work alongside local agencies all across Oklahoma. The CST is uniquely qualified to support our fellow Oklahomans,
man,
which is a really weird name for a state citizen.
It's also
way.
Like, I think we can handle it. I mean, like Maine and Connecticut and all the Vermont, they deal with it every fall when you have like millions of people. Well, maybe it's not millions, but you have the rush of people to go look at the leaves and see that kind of stuff. Like, I feel like these sort of mass migrations happen.
The difference, I guess, is the leaves change every year. This eclipse doesn't happen, you know.
This is starting to feel a little bit Y2K-y to me.
Sure.
In that, okay, so the last thing I was reading is they're saying, okay, we expect an extra million people in the Austin area. Now, our total population is a little bit lower than 2 million. So what they're saying is that they're expecting basically the population 30. To kind of double here. I have a hard time conceiving of that.
I don't think it'll happen either, but it's better to be prepared than not because
why it has to be done. Because otherwise you're going to lose your job if a million people show up and you did nothing for it.
What's nuts about it, though, is when scientists and people on the Weather Channel, whatever, when they're like, hey, this could be a Cat 5 hurricane that's going to hit the border of Texas on Monday, you don't get this kind of response.
No, you don't.
You don't. You don't. It's always afterwards.
Like,
and I mean, I guess, yeah, there's not much you can't send people into a zone before a hurricane hits. Maybe, I don't know. It's just weird that we'll have natural disasters where we're not talking and preparing as much. And again, natural disasters a little more random and unpredictable, but we are talking and having this a lot.
You ever buy a bunch of stuff for a party and then no one shows up and you feel kind of depressed?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I feel like our city leaders are going to feel like that following Tuesday.
See, that's why I do.
Where they're like, man, we didn't even get to use our tanks or anything.
Or our tasers.
See, that's why I hate it when my fiance does the party shopping because she gets stuff. I get stuff that I know I would want. And that's what makes it better. It's because then I just have like a crock pot full of barbecue weenies to eat for a week. And it's great.
You love to put a weenie in your mouth.
I do. Matt and his wife came over once. I bought a bunch of cheese and I ate it all the night before. So I had to go get more.
I forgot about that. Yeah. The time we had the cheese party and you were like, yeah, I'm sorry. I ate all the cheese last night.
If you do plan ahead, some things you can't, plan
exactly.
For.
Exactly. As for the eclipse itself, I will say I was astronomer gave a pretty good rundown of why this is different, and he said it lasts a while, unlike the other eclipse. Like, this is complete. It gets darker, the weather gets cooler, it feels like it's night outside, but you hear like bugs chirping and birds flying. He said it's very different and bizarre. Like, it really is kind of a strange, surreal thing that happens at the peak of the eclipse.
I saw some video of a similar type of eclipse on the other side of the world, and I saw where everyone's cheering and excited, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, it does last a lot longer than
you
think.
Yeah, and you're not getting the peripheral stuff around. And they say, I don't know if it's true, he said you can look at it.
Just look at it.
I don't think you're
just
supposed to do that.
Just look at this. Yeah. Just look at this.
Just look at,
this.
At, yeah.
Just look at this.
Did you know?
Vincent Van Gogh shot himself.
Yeah.
But that's not how he died. He shot himself with a 7mm revolver, walked home, saw doctors. There was no surgeon that could come and remove the bullet, so he died a couple days later due to infections caused by the wound, which is pretty sad and gross. And he said, quote, the sadness will last forever. Yeah, not that much longer, but
because you died.
It is a very slow suicide, isn't it?
Yeah, infection seems a gross way to go, too.
It's a pretty Van Gogh way to go, being all sad and mopey for a few days and then finally dying.
Yeah, Poor fella. Anyhow, hey, this is where we learn things. And sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're not. But you know they're true because they all start with,
Did you know? Did you know watermelons originated in Africa? And they were first cultivated solely for one thing and one thing only. You guys want to guess what that is?
Throwing at people.
Not throwing at people. Great, great guess, though. You want to take a shot at it?
Eating?
No, not eating. In fact, quite the opposite. They were almost all seeds, very, very little flesh, and incredibly not tasty. No, if you think about it, the fact that they're called watermelons, they were cultivated for their...
carry jugs?
Water content.
Oh.
They would mainly grow in drier areas, and they would suck up the ground water, and so it was a good source of water. But they were gross. They were super, super gross.
People like
but
this.
Somehow, we have slowly, over time, humans turned them into these giant... delicious.
Oh, thank God.
Picnic party things. Yeah.
Oh, summertime.
God, they're good. I mean, when they're mealy and overripe, not so much, but man, when you get a good watermelon.
Plus, you can fill them up with vodka, I hear.
Yeah.
Everclear.
Everclear,
yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Wow, what if they were called Everclear melons and they grew and they were a natural source of Everclear?
And that's you're like in the desert dying and you find one and you're like, oh, I can drink out of this. And you're like, whoa, man.
You crush one of those melons and you're just like, I messed up. What did I do?
What did I done do?
Did you know you can always see your own nose, but your brain learns to ignore it?
That's true. It does.
Yeah. Look at your nose right now. It's there.
It's weird.
Just like that, because it's kind of like a little stoner fact.
Yeah, it kind of is, because now we're going to be looking at it all day long and noticing it.
It's like...
Yeah, it does. It just blurs it out.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
I wish I didn't have a nose right
now. Did you know? Why?
Because of allergies. Yeah, now that you say it, I'm very aware of it, and I'm trying not to sneeze.
It's like, you know, try not to swallow.
Oh, man. Think about your heart beating and breathing.
Breathing. Oh, man.
Dude.
One more quick one, I guess, since that was a quick one. Did you know the FBI maintains their own Bitcoin wallet that consists of seized Bitcoins?
Nice. Always a good way to make money, and in case they have to set up stings and buy drugs.
That's right.
But, yeah, that's always a way. Just like when the FBI or CIA find gold or things that are untraceable. Never leads to corruption, right?
Yeah, also, if the FBI wants to go to the really cool parties down on Rainy, they better have that Bitcoin wallet.
Just a wallet to get in, have the DJ play, and then a bunch of dudes talk about their business and their new wallets.
Yeah, oh, did you see my Bored Ape?
Tight vape rig, bro.
Wish this dude had some more Bitcoin. Did you know?
Huh.
Back in 2013, the studio didn't have a budget to shoot the movie Riddick. Vin Diesel, being a big fan, had to mortgage his house, obtain loans, and he spent most of his own money on the production. And I think for future Chronicles of Riddick, he also pretty much owns the rights and bought that out from the movie. And I'm going to say, I'm a Riddick fan. Pitch Black, Riddick, all those. Sometimes I like to put on those type of movies just to have on. These mind-numbing, dumb action space sci-fi movies. They're so good. I watched all the Matrixes, all four this weekend.
It was four? Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, just because I like parts of the Matrix. It does get worse after the first, but man, sometimes it's just nice to have these on. So Vin Diesel, being a fan of the art, of the craft, I'd like to salute you for keeping the Riddick alive. And by the way, did you know someone here at work goes to and like buys DVDs? Watches the movie, and then she puts them out in the table in there.
Right, we talked about that one day.
And I snagged all the Riddicks. She had Pitch Black, Chronicles of Riddick, and I was like, hell yeah. And I snagged them, I watched the DVDs, and then I wrapped them as a birthday gift for one of my friends.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
He may not be the first wannabe comedian in Austin, but he is the finest. The CJ Morgan Show on 101X.